Revelation 4:11, we have been studying plans, purposes, and pursuits. Let us pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for your outstretched hand of grace and power. Thank you for your fatherly care and affection, even times we're not conscious of it. Thank you for your word given to us in your Son. Thank you for the confidence you've granted to our hearts. Today we approach your word with the same. We approach the scriptures to receive light and understand, to receive insight. Every ear is blessed. Every heart is refreshed. Every eye is sharpened and much more keen to see the things that you have done for us and you're doing in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Revelation 4:11. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. That's our study. And I know last week we didn't go on that, so we'll just get going quickly and pay good attention. Many times we, you know, when it comes to prayer, I just had to say this, I sensed to say this when we were praying. We pray, and sometimes we don't know how to get the answers. The answers of prayer are not enjoyed when you're praying. They're enjoyed when you're walking. Right? Most of the time we pray, then our actions betray what we're prayed about. So when you pray, learn to act. For instance, in Mark 11:24, when it says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, that word when you pray, is the word aiteho, means to ask as due. Believe that you receive them. Now believing is an action, and you shall have them. Two words there. You have prayed. It says you believe that you have received, and you shall have them. In other words, when you pray, you act. You know, when Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, he says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And he says, and the God of peace, he says, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 8, what things soever are pure. Now, he had told you not to care for nothing. So what things are pure, of good report, any praise, any virtue, noble things. Think on these things. In other words, there's an action you have to take. You can pray, and then your thoughts are filled with things that have no virtue. You must pray and act. Hallelujah. You know, we just prayed before the service, the eyes of our understanding, meaning light in the human, no words, hope of calling. Imagine praying all that prayer, you don't go to church. Or you do that prayer, you don't study. It's of no use. You got to pray and act. Are you listening? You come to service, you pray that prayer, you come to service, no Bible, you have a Bible, you're not listening. Or after finishing, after praying that prayer, and we're teaching, and you're answering your phone. Sure, you're doing exactly opposite of what you prayed about. If you believe that you receive, you will have them. You need to act on what you have prayed about. Praise the Lord. Are you still there?
Yes,
good. Because you need to act on it. So, Revelation 4:11. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now we said last time, it's not abnormal for a creation to do the will of its creator. It's not out of place if you will obey God. It's not a sacrifice. It's not a pain, because you are his creation. Now, you're his creation, first of all, in Adam before you got saved. When you got born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, that man, is a new creation. All things are past away. Behold, all things are become new. So, you definitely are God's creation. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God, same word, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, it's not abnormal. It's not a strange thing for you to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Say the will of God is not strange to me. Say doing the will of God is my nature. How many of you agree that the system of this world is not in the will of God? Let me see your hand if you agree. Do you agree? How's that so simple? The system of this world is not, so you can do things and this world seem like what you do. I posted some on Facebook and I said, when you mature as a Christian, you will know there are certain things you don't talk about. Even the world is talking about it. You just say nothing. Well, brother, say you must say something. You must say something about this. And Paul said, if you be a servant of men, you cannot be a servant of God. Who are these men anyway? Bible says, if you be a servant of men, who are these men? The world. You need to respond to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit asking you to see anything. No, the Holy Spirit isn't asking you to see anything. So you say nothing. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the world, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by what the people are saying, they are the sons of God. Nope. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes we get so immersed in the things of this world, we forget that we are not of this world. Say, I'm not of this world. Bible says, whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4, has overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. John 16:33 says, in this world you have tribulations and trials. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, a different one. Different description. 1 John 5:19. He says, the whole world lieth in darkness, or in the wicked one. Are you still there? Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, right? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So there is this world. Hallelujah. Brother Higgins says there are three things a Christian knows he has. He is having a conflict with Brother Higgins said that. He said the flesh. He said the world. He said and Satan. The flesh, the world, and Satan. That's true. You learn to yield to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But sometimes we've gotten so immersed in the things this world does that we don't even know the difference when we're reacting from the Spirit or we're reacting from the flesh. So, it's not abnormal for you to do the will of God. Now, I must mention this, I think I want to say the last time, that your mind, how many of you know what is on your mind? What's on your mind? You know what's on your mind? What's it? Do you agree that what's on your mind is what you're thinking about? Is that true? Is that true? All right, let me ask you a question. How many of us can control how we think? You can control how you think. Why are you quiet now? You know, you can... Okay, how many can control what you say? Huh? Let me see. You can control what you say. Let me see. What don't you want to say? Right now. You don't know what it is. Alright, you can control what you think. How do you control what you think? You know, okay, let's start. We said, you know what's on your mind by knowing what you're thinking about. So, what you're thinking about is what is on your mind. So, if Paul says renew your mind, it means renew what? Renew your thinking. How do you know what you're thinking? What, many times, what you say, maybe in meditation, what you mutter about, sometimes is what comes out of your mouth in unguarded times, unguarded moments. Correct? Correct? What gets you worried? Correct? Alright, so Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart, same word for mine, with all diligence. Is that true? For out of it are the issues, the forces that govern your life. So your thinking governs your life. Is that correct? Is that correct? So your thinking governs your life. Now, one thing is clear. You may not control what comes to your mind. Hallelujah. How many of you know the color of the shirt I'm wearing? You already knew it. Because, now, you can't control that. But you don't know the color of the shirt? I pray for you. You know the color of the shirt? You know, I'm wearing, because you can't control the fact that I wore the shirt. So you say, oh, he wore a green shirt. Is it green? Truly green. With a yellow animal. Is that true? You can go further to say, doesn't he have another wristwatch? Now you went quiet because you don't want to laugh at that. Because you're thinking that, right? Oh, you know, now you've gone further to process. Right? You're not just knowing I wore a green shirt. You're not processing it. A green shirt. You're processing. Right? At that point, you're what? You're processing it. So it's not just a thought. Something you saw. It's not something you are processing. Are you following that? So guard your heart doesn't mean you can stop all the thoughts that come to you. You cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but by the time it builds a castle on your head, that's your fault. You can stop the thoughts from being processed. Many of us don't know how to stop thoughts from being processed. A very simple principle of stopping a thought from being processed is using your words. Sometimes I'm taking a stroll. Many times, I just stopped it recently. It happened to me just yesterday or 2 days ago. Some people greet you, they don't know you're not talking to them. Because you guard your life by how you speak. Sometimes some of us need to take a stroll and we need to throw out some thoughts from our mind with our words. Because thoughts came by words, they're sent out by words. Hallelujah. So, you must know how to control your thinking. Don't process it. How do you know the things you're thinking? Your imagination. Things that come to your imagination. You see this and you see that. And the Bible says renew your mind. It is saying control the things you process. Control it. Control it. You know, every strife or every broken relationship or broken home or broken marriage starts in the thoughts. Every division in the local church starts in the thoughts. If you kill the thoughts, and that's it. You know, someone called me. He's going to talk about another pastor. So he begins to talk. And he wants to tell me about a pastor. About the pastor. Actually, he called me and someone else so that we could find someone to help that pastor. So he takes the phone. He's talking. Or I said, "You okay, he needs help. The pastor needs help." I said, "Yes." So he said, "Let me tell you what happened." I said, "No. There's no need." So you know the gravity. I said, "You don't need to give me the details. For you to be talking to me, for you to ask us to get the other pastor to be involved, there's already gravity. If you tell me what I am not going to solve, you're getting me in trouble. Why not?" He said, so I said, "Well, what if you want to pray for him?" I don't need details to pray for you, do I? We're in the New Testament. I don't need the book of Psalms to pray for you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. You know, Paul says, pray in the Spirit for all saints. He knows when you are in the Spirit, you pray it in tongues, so you don't need to know the details in your mind. You don't need to know. And I stopped that brother from giving me this, because I said, if you tell me it's going to be on my mind, I don't need it to get to my mind. So I can block what I think by what I hear. Is that correct? So, but if I coincidentally hear it, I can block it by not processing it. I throw it out with my words. Amen. Are you there? I throw it out with my words. In my words, I throw it out. So, I need to... Now, why did I go through all that? Because your mind is a key area in following God's plan for your life. What you don't think about, you don't practice. Is that true? James 1, it says, every good gift has 6:17, every proper gift comes from the Lord. Down from the Father, lives, and no virgins that shall done. Verse 18, of his own will be guided by the word of truth, that you should be a kind of prophet of the scripture. Verse 19, says, therefore, my brother, be the truth to hear, so the truth to rock, for the rush of rock matters, what I have done, verse 21. It says, laying aside all food and spirit of nothingness, receive weakness, the graphic word, and simply to save the soul. 22, be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a liar of the word, lacking unto a man. And it was a hearer of the word is likened unto a man who beholds his face in the mirror. Notice. His natural face. Straight away, what? Go at his way, forgets the manner of man he was. He forgets. Now, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. Now, listen to that. Not being what? So that's the point. What you cannot process, what you don't think doesn't work in your life. It's not what you hear that changes you, it's what you think about. Some folks have been hearing the word of God for a year. I wouldn't be surprised. Some guys will hear the word and say, but you've been hearing the word for so long. Some guys will tell me, I know, sir, but it's not easy. Because they've been hearing the word, but they're not processing what they're hearing. They're processing other things. Now, you can hear the word 8 hours every day, and you won't process anything you heard. And you can hear some wrong stuff 2 hours, and you spend more hours thinking about those things than the things you heard 8 hours. Are you still out there? So, the point is, what do you think about? It's what you think about that you practice. What you think about. If you forget the word, you won't do the word. Is that clear? And Jesus says in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of teaching, the mouth speaks. Nope. Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. It's out of much thinking. Matthew 12, 34. Out of the abundance of the heart. Now, what is the abundance of the heart? What is abundance in your heart is what you're thinking about. What you're processing. What you're processing. If you see some folks like that, Christians, I've spoken to couples and I've spoken to friends and I've had time to talk to some folks. And then you see someone talk about what the other person has done and he will take 2 hours, 3 hours. And he's talking. I remember one sister, I won't mention her name now. She wanted to tell me something, our elder sister, she's living the elder sister. What happened is that she spoke for 3 hours. And I'm walking. We spoke, went to a mosque, we sat down. She was still talking. I thought she would stop in the mosque. She went on. We took a stroll again. Then every time I say, but she said, no, wait, let me finish. Huh? And she goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And I just knew there's no point in telling her anything in the Bible. She is filled. Because she had so much time. Now, you know something? Throughout everything she said nothing good about her sister. But you know, if she had taken just a few minutes to think about something good about her sister, it would have affected her attitude, wouldn't it? If I suppose leave a church, or a friend, or a marriage, or home, or ministry, and then they say, as though from the very first day they entered that ministry, or that marriage, or that friendship, that everything was just evil. They've been attacked by demons from the very first day they met the person. Now, if you've been attacked by demons from the first day you met, why do you join the church? Have you been blessed in that place? I can cause some things happen, John. Some good things here and there, but seriously, let me tell you, that is bad, very bad. You see, you processed it. Isn't that true? You took time to process it. Love believes the best of every person. Love does not think evil. Amen. Are you still there? Say, love doesn't think evil. So don't think evil of people. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you need to take care of your mind. You need to take care of your mind. You need to take care of your mind. I know Christians who wander in their thoughts. They just go, phew. You say, how come? I just suppose maybe you just said, they saw you in service. And then they say, good morning, pastor. You just walk past. Sometimes you're probably lost in your thoughts. Sometimes you just didn't hear it. You just go, why didn't pastor greet me? Did Brother Beckley tell him what I did yesterday? Or he doesn't like me. He doesn't believe in my ministry. That's the reason why he chose this person to be the head and I'm the member. I don't know what I'll do to please pastor. And the pastor just didn't see you. But you did a processing, a good processing. Next day you see him, he greets you. Hi, good morning, how are you? Fine, sir. Because you have gone into planet Mars with your thinking. Curb your thoughts. Is that clear? Imagine if all in your mind were good things. So I say, ha, ha! Jesus be the fence. Everything in my mind, good. Oh, that's God, I'm going to take the new man. I'm going to be thinking good things alone. You mean I won't think bad things? Everything will just be Bible thoughts. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure. Isn't that true? You mean I can just be thinking good things? I won't think. I should tell you. I shouldn't say it. I'm a pulpit. Paul says, whatever things are pure things, so I must preach that too. Amen. Anyway, imagine if you fill your thoughts with God's thoughts. Praise the Lord. Alright, that's not today's teaching anyway. Praise the Lord. So, your mind must think God's plan. Have you ever bothered to think about God's will for your life? You know, most believers, they only ask will of God when it comes to who they marry. But I always say this, that who you marry or who marries you, both ways, is a concomitance of how much of God's will. You see, if you've never found out God's will in your life about anything, you've never tried to find out, and all in your mind is who you should marry. Life doesn't begin and end in marriage. That's the plain truth. No, it doesn't. And all you do is, you will never, if you've never bothered about God's will in your career, God's will as to what you do, where you don't go to, the kind of friends you keep, you can never get it right when you were going to marry. Because it's never automatic. It's a concomitant of the things, the decisions you've taken in your life. Is that there? You get that? So, let's see this. We said the last time that the written word is the will of God. I think that's clear enough. That's clear enough. The written word is the will of God. Two things. First of all, know the written word and be led by the Spirit of God, or follow the leading of the Spirit of God. We said all that. Now let's clear some things. Write this down, it's very important. The will of God starts with salvation. Is that clear? The will of God starts with what? 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Will of God. So, the first thing is, that means I'll tell myself that the will of God began when I got saved. Would that be correct? Would that be correct? The will of God in my life began when I got saved. Would that be correct? Okay, two. Do you also believe that the will of God is spiritual growth? So if I'm an unbeliever and I'm looking for the will of God, the first thing is to get what? Saved. That's a no-brainer, is it? Okay, so the will of God is spiritual growth. Is that correct? Is that correct? I know I'm not in the will of God if I'm not growing spiritually. Is that true? I don't have to pray about that, do I? If I'm not growing spiritually, I know I'm not in the will of God. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. Paul told the whole church. He said, "Our brethren, I couldn't speak unto you." 1 Corinthians 3:1. Unto us unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, "Either to have fed you with milk and not with meat, because you were not able to bear, neither are you now able to." In other words, he's telling them, look, you should be fed with the word. You should be fed with meat. When you're being fed with milk, that means they are not in the will of God. God wants them fed with meat, but they're being fed with milk. That means they're not in the will of God. See how long you've been saved? And you still come to church, you've still been saved, you come to church, and 30 minutes of hearing the word of God, you're already getting tired, bored, you are not in the will of God. It's simple. You hardly sit down to hear God's word. You hardly consider the word of God in your actions. You are not in the will of God, because the will of God is spiritual growth. Hallelujah. You join a local church. You don't need to be told that local church is not God's will for your life if you are not growing spiritually. You're not growing spiritually, because spiritual growth is the will of God. Say, spiritual growth is the will of God. Now, how do you grow spiritually? You grow spiritually not by the number of years you count as a Christian, but how you are fed. How you are fed. Hallelujah. Are you still there? How you are fed in the word. Number three. How many of the will of God is walking in the spirit? True? Is that true? The will of God is walking in the spirit. So if I'm not, can I be in the will of God when I'm walking in the flesh? Talk to me, somebody. I have to be in the, if I'm not walking in the spirit, I'm not in the will of God. Walk in the spirit, you know, fruit loss of the flesh. Galatians 5:16-17. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the spirit, let us also what? Walk in the spirit. So, I don't have to ask for the will of God. If I am not walking in the spirit, I am not in the will of God. So, salvation is the will of God. Spiritual growth is the will of God. Walk in the spirit is the will of God. For serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Serving the Lord is the will of God. Serving the Lord is the will of God. Roy Hicks Sr. said this. He used to be the president of the Four Square Church International. Roy Ixine was a very close friend to Brother Hagin. I used to read his materials a lot. He said, when you are in the light, you don't look for light. So if you're born again, if you're growing spiritually, if you're walking in the spirit, you're already in the light. Is that not true? If you're serving the Lord, you're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. You're in the local church. Anymore, you're not sharing the local church. You're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. Romans 12:11. It says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, doing what? Serving the Lord. Say, serving the Lord. You can serve Nigeria, you're not serving the Lord. You wear all the kaki, you can serve the Lord. You're kept in the rain and in the sun. You jump in trees like monkeys. That doesn't mean you're serving the Lord. I mean, serving your nation is not serving the Lord. Is that true? Say, I am a politician, I'm serving the Lord. A guy told me something. He said, you know, we're all in the will of God. He said, you are preaching spiritual things. He used to be a senior brethren to me. One person is a brethren to me in the Lord. So you know what Shekman said? The same anointing that's on your life comes on me when I campaign. I say, yes, sir. I dare not argue with that great man. I was 1 year old. Was he 1 year, 2 years old when he got filled with the Holy Spirit and was speaking in tongues? Nobody in my entire lineage has spoken in tongues. I'm talking about from my great, 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 great grandfather. So, if he tells me the same anointing, I say, yes, sir. He said, he's serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I say, yes, sir. But he's joking. But I couldn't tell him. Don't tell him. You don't know him, do you? I didn't mention his name. You're not serving the Lord. You think, if I'm working diligently in my office, I'm serving the Lord. That means everybody working diligently in your office serving the Lord. That's not true. That's not serving the Lord. If you're praying for all saints, are you in the will of God? You say yes. Where last did you, apart from service? Where last did you pray for all saints? You know, most of the prayers we're praying is ourselves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, I pray for myself. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray for myself and everything. I also pray for Shegun. That's to me, but I got to mention another person. I pray for everything. Father, you know that I'm the apple of your eyes. Nobody should touch my apple of your eyes, or else they will blind you. Selfishness. Pray for all saints. Most of the prayers we have today in many of our churches. If you call people for prayer, you know why some people don't attend prayer meetings? Because it's not about them. Say, pray for this one. Pray for that one. Pray for the world to be glorified. What about me? Pray for the world. We just pray right now. Let's just pray. The prayer leader is saying, let's just pray right now. Imagine raise another prayer point and say, brethren, we are going to call for the corn from the east. That is scripture, you know that, from the north. We are going to declare that the wealth of the Gentiles are ours. You see, voice will raise. Shakatala ba 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 ba. Holy God! That is about you. When you are praying for somebody in Somalia, you'll be doing, you're just saying, I want to show my rose. You are laughing. I just described you. Pray for, you pray for a man of God. You say, I pray for him, Father. I want you to stretch your hands and pray. Do like this. When I used to go around and preach, I still do it once in a while. You say, let's stretch forth our hands towards the man of God. You just let virtue has left him. I was saying, Jesus, it's you that virtue will leave. He said, virtue has left him. Replenish him. He said, virtue has left him. I was beginning to say, I reject all these things. lazy.
But he said,
pray for yourself that the glory of God will arise. But the times of people say, has come. You are selfish.
Praise the Lord.
You are laughing at yourself. Ephesians 6:18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. So you should pray for people. When you are praying for people, you are in the will of God. Hallelujah. If you are walking in love, are you in the will of God? And people are abusing you. They say, you are doing SU. You know why SU is Swagger Union? You don't know. Years ago, they used to call us Swagger Union. We say, no, we reject it. He said, we are now Success Unlimited. Rubbish. This is Swagger Union. They will step on your leg, you say sorry. You don't want to miss the rapture. But when you are walking in love, people will be making fun of you. What did you now say? Nothing. You said nothing. Somebody told me, he said, Chef, you know, you are a pastor, me, I'm an evangelist. You said nothing at all. How? See, my God is the most evil God. Fire for fire. He said, the God of Elijah is still alive. What about Elijah himself? When you are walking in love, in your school, in your office, you say, you two call this nonsense? Particularly, you know, in marriage, you say, what are you trying to say? No, I don't take that nonsense from my husband. Christian. You see the utterance, you say, what? See, all those days, you see, he's pausing. So what about Paul? That's Paul. Was he married? He can say what he likes. Since that you're not in the will of God. Even though your husband says, okay, I've heard. He's also not in the will of God. Both of you. Praise the Lord. The Bible says submit. That's what it says. It is a submit in the spirit realm. Submission is a natural thing. You will do it. It will be seen. When you are walking in love, Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, be ye imitators of God as their children. You know, years ago, I was sharing the gospel with someone. The man belonged to the Grail Message. He said, and the man used to wear white a lot, all white. In fact, he was almost a white man. So he said, the problem he has with the gospel, I said, what? You say we have sinned against God, yes. And God will do nothing. He now killed somebody else. Jesus Christ. He said he finds it difficult to comprehend it. I thought about it when I left his office, his house, sorry, because it was like a grand uncle. And I thought about it. I said, it really doesn't make sense. Do you understand? It doesn't make sense. God has, you know, God can do like this when everybody's gone. No, we always say that His spirit is eternal. His spirit is eternal. It's because God says so. Jesus said that. It's because God says so. Jesus said He has the power. You know what He said? To take everything out, and there will be no record of it in history. And then He chose to take out Himself. That's really swebe. That's the height of swebe. The Bible says, "Be imitators of God as their children." Walk in love. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
See, as Christ, not as Mahatma Gandhi, not as Mandela. Some say, Mandela, who is that? No, as God has forgiven you in Christ. That's what he said, not as Mandela. So someone so read the book of Mandela. He said, this man. And he said, he read the book. He said, it didn't touch me. Say when he said he touched me. I was almost in tears. When last you read about Jesus and you were in tears? Mandela. Is he not a good person? Does not God command us all to be good? No. Be saved. It's when you are saved that you are good. Hallelujah. When you are not saved, you are evil. Because unbelief is called evil. Hallelujah. Even if you're a nice person, you give your body to be born, you have nothing. You are nothing. Bible says you are nothing. The word nothing there means nothing. In the Greek, Hebrew, Latin, and Yoruba. You are walking in love. If you are giving thanks, you are in the will of God. Is that true? If you are giving thanks, you are in the will of God. Hallelujah. Bible says, giving in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, concerning, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. So, do the written word. Do what is written in the word. Do that. Hallelujah. Do what is written in the word. You know, many times we are looking for what is not lost. So I'm praying. So, someone told me, I'm praying. I want God to show me what He wants me to do. And He's praying and fasting. And I said, come. When last did you go for evangelism? He has never done it. When last did you go for discipleship? No. When last did you sit down to pray for all saints? No. You can't find the will of God. You are ignoring the known. You are looking for the unknown. The unknown will finish you. The known, you are looking at it like this. You are reading it. You are putting it down. The unknown is what you are looking for. Start with the known. Is that true? Are you there? Very good. So, now, in following God's plans for our lives, we're going to deal with this later, but I just want to mention it. You see, because we are in a world that demands so much of us, so much of us, so much of our minds, our thoughts, our deeds, we need to live a daily life of consecration. Consecration is not an anti-New Testament terminology. Consecration simply means to give your life to Christ. You know, giving your life to Christ is not salvation. At salvation, Christ's life becomes yours. Then consecration is when you dedicate yourself. You give your own life to Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you still there? Are you there? Paul was writing concerning the church in Thessalonica. He says, this they did, not as we hoped, but first, notice this, 2 Corinthians 8:5. But first gave their own lives to the Lord. Notice that. They first gave their own lives, one, to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. They gave their lives. Now, they did this before they gave money. You know why many of us are never consistent in service? You are just inconsistent. You say, what is the problem, sir? Today, I'm serving. I say, no, I want to serve the Lord. You rush into a church department. You go and do rushing. You go to technical. And then you stop. You know why you are never consistent? You didn't give your life to Him first. Give it to Him first. Give your life. They gave their lives first to the Lord, then to us by the will of God. Give it to Him. Praise the Lord. That's the first thing. Give your life to God. Give it to Him. Give it to the Father. Give your life to Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Give your life to Him. At that point, you say, whatever He wants me to do, it will not be difficult for you to know what He wants you to do, because you are not thinking of yourself first. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you still here? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes about himself. Look at what he says. You know, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He didn't say this in heaven, no. On earth, I have kept the faith. Notice that. Notice the words he used. I have fought a good fight. Definite fight. I have finished my course. That word my is in italics. Some verses say, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Look at that. Let's look at the word course. The word course there has to do with a path. In the classical Greek, it looks like when you are in the bush, and then you have to, you know how you create a path amongst, you know, so a path, a course there means something you pick out of different options. Like when you know, there's a bush path, then they create the way we create a road, not tar road, you just create, a path. So there's a course. Every one of us has a course you should follow. Every one of us. And there must be a time, listen to this now, there must be a time of discovery where you discover that God has a plan for you different from what you wanted. Some of us think that our desires are equal to God's desires. That is foolhardiness. It's not true. There must be a point where you say, well, I was going this way. Everybody that God has ever used had that testimony. I was going this way. I planned this like this, and the Lord led me differently. You must have a testimony like that. I want to do this. Lord led me differently. Are you still there? Are you listening? So, there must be a course. What is the path you are following? Have you found out? You know, last time we said you must discover the plan. Is that true? Is that true? You must. Now, go to that verse of scripture we saw the last time, Psalm 127, verse 1. I want to show you some very, very vital truths there. Psalm 127, verse 1. Can you remember that verse? Except the Lord, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. Now, the way I used to think about the word vain, years ago, I thought when you say, when you say, Real Madrid, the attack line is £300 million. Shame. And they tried in vain to score. That happened recently. So I'm not abusing them. They tried in vain. Just like Manchester United. They bought coach. Right now, they have bought everybody. I even learned they are bidding for Maradona and Pele. So I thought the word vain means you did it, you couldn't score. So in my mind, I felt, well, if the Lord does not build the house will not be there. He is vain. But no. Notice it says, they labor in vain that build it. That means they built it. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, the issue is the word vain. I checked it out in the Greek and Hebrew, same transliteration. Paul used it as well. That word vanity is not lack of activity. It's not even lack of success. No. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Is someone following me this evening? Verse. Paul used it majorly twice here. In 14. If Christ be not risen. Are you listening? 1 Corinthians, are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? I wait for you. Are you there? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now notice. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Now, notice what he says is vain. He said, your faith is vain. He says, our preaching, he says, is vain. Now, look at 18. Notice the sequence. Then, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That defines the word vain. That's why in 57, it says, 58, pardon me, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word vain has to do with something that is temporal. It is the exact opposite of eternity. So, it means something that has no bearing in eternity. So, it's eternity that really counts. So, it says, if the Lord does not build a house, in other words, it's only what God builds that is eternal. What God doesn't build never goes beyond this lifetime. Are you listening? Good. So, the word vanity is something that is restricted to this earth. That's all. Look at how Paul mentioned it too. 1 Corinthians 3, the same word, build. It says, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, 10, and another builds thereon. Let each man take heed how he builds thereupon. Notice, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest when? For the day shall declare it. Because it shall not be revealed by fire. It shall be revealed by fire, sorry. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work will abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice that. He says, what will not abide where? In eternity. He said, the man shall suffer loss. That is the vain. That's Psalm 127 and 1 Corinthians 15 were referring to. Are you following this? Vain. Do you know the man whose work, you know, was burnt, he also did something. So activity is not equal to God's plan and purpose. Activity. To just be active, doing too many things. Even men liking what you are doing. Notice, Solomon's vanity, notice the book of Ecclesiastes, I think we did a series on that. It was because he said, everything is restricted to this earth. So everything is vanity. And that's the plain truth. Everything. I remember years ago, I won't forget this, almost 20 years, I think 20 years actually. I remember that day, my mom had to come to UI to come and pick me then, so, because I was not at home. I won't tell you why. I went for different meetings. I don't know how she got me that day. But you know, I wasn't at home. There were no phones. I just saw a car in front of Tether Hall. Ah, so that was my mom. She just looked at me and then she'd been looking for me. So, sorry. And I was fasting. So I told her to allow me to go and break my fast. She said, are you sure you'll come back? I said, I'm not running away. You have seen me already. So I went inside. did everything, came out. So we went to an uncle's house in Bodija. And then, so there was like a family gathering, so everybody was to be around. So there was one uncle that was going to also come into the family gathering. So everybody was talking about him, that every time he comes around, that the guy will dash money. The guy is a Khashoggi. He spreads things generally, you know, grassroots mobilization. He has infrastructure. So they were talking about him, that he's such a nice person. And everybody was, and I was quiet. Because at that point, I was like a black sheep. You know, they've been looking for him. He went to do program. So he mentioned his name. Everybody was talking. They were really talking. So I went to the kitchen. So we now, my own category of, you know, cousins. They were now talking. Everybody's waiting. He'll give us. He can give you 1,000. I said, yeah. So I said, well, if Uncle Soso has already dies, you know he's going to hell. That everything he has done is of no consequence. So, look, we kept quiet. 20 minutes after, he was shot down the road. I just begged my cousin, don't tell anybody. I said, I was just talking. The truth about it was that he was shot. And, you know, they rushed him to UCH that day. They called, because they're very influential family, they called all the consultants, everybody was there. In fact, I think the CMD came in his pajamas, and they came, and they couldn't get blood, and he passed on. And that's really the truth. Praise the Lord. Sad story, I'm telling someone that I know very well. Is it the truth? The point is, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain and build it. Truth of the matter. And I said that now. I said, look, what really matters is what you do for the Lord. It's not all these things people are clapping, we are giving them 1K. I said, fine bubble all over the place. That's not what matters. Solomon said, whatever will not get into eternity is vain. So look at your life and look at what do you labor for the most. Is there anything you are doing right now that will be in heaven? You are quiet. That will get to heaven. That it will be recorded in heaven. Something that will matter to heaven. Now, I want to touch a very sensitive area, and I hope that I'll survive it. I will, Jerry. I'm the pastor here. Now, notice something. And I want you to really think about it. In Matthew 6, Jesus said in 24, no man can serve two masters. It's either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Now, do you know that you may not understand the import of what he says until you read the preceding verses? He now says, he said, take no thought for your life. Hey? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and your body, what you shall put on. He's saying that anything that my needs motivate is a love of money. Anything my needs motivate me to do, that primarily my needs, and he calls that the love of money. You know, most of the time when we do business, take up jobs or appointments, the first priority on our mind is what we will gain from it. He's saying you can't serve God and mammon. You have to prefer one to the other. But is that not crazy? Well, virtually, what we call success is how much of money I can make. But just say no. Your needs must not motivate you. So, listening. Now, let's look at the flip side. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. Paul said this to Timothy. And he says, in fact, he says that when anybody sees godliness as gain, withdraw yourself from the person. Verse 5. When anybody sees godliness as gain, that godliness, you know, somebody told me something. He said, and I asked the person, I said, what is it? He said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. I said, what kind of nonsense is that? What does that mean? Are you settling God with praises? No, I said, no, it's because the blessings had come down that the praises are going up. It's the other way around. You know, this mentality that, whatever I'm doing, that's why some people don't give in church. Oh, I'm talking about this community church. I confess boldly, all I have is from you. What did I say? I receive. You're not putting something to it. Like, 100-fold return. Like, 24-hour miracle. Well, the reason why I don't do it is because I am not a fraudster. It's only 419 that tell you when you give a seed, something God will do it for you. It's a 419 that does that. And we have learned not to use the word of God in deceit. But you too, don't be deceitful. It goes both ways. Amen? He says, when you see somebody that takes godliness as gain, withdraw. You know, it's a Bible verse. Withdraw yourself. For godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is contentment. It means to be content. Some things you have that you are not thanking God for, what somebody is praying about. Are you aware of that? Some people are praying about what you have. Let me even say this. We are coming. Me, Kole, and Dan. It's a very funny story. And I was even using to do my iPad. I just looked right ahead. And Kole was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There shall be no loss. Thank you, Jesus. There was an accident. I said, what happened? He said, this car ran. It was a trailer. And we felt like God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So the car was really crushed. So people came around. Was there? And then the lady that was driving, she just came out. We just said, thank you, Father. She just said, see my car. See my car. My car. I said, car. See what life has turned us into. We were in the car. I said, thank you, Father, thank you. Thank you. Because she was saying, see my car. She was taking the driver and saying, this is my car. And I checked the car. She had a sticker, a church sticker. I don't want to mention the church. Maybe it says community. Making your life count with money. Can you imagine? I mean, you couldn't even be thankful. Car. It was even a Tokyo barely used. Maybe 230,000 repair the car. If they are taking out your left leg and your right hand, I'm talking about amputation. Car. Car. It will be funny. The person can go to judgment and say, Father, you better, we thank God. And yesterday, I just spoke the word. Which word? We saw you. We saw you. Car. Love of money. Let's take it easy. Amen. Take it easy. Calm down. Amen. Are you listening? Somebody was telling his children, he said, when I die, you must bury him like this. I said, how would you know? How would you know? Can you give instruction? He said, the casket must be something million. So you see, vanity at your age. You should be going to church every day. At your age, you are still thinking like that at your age. Oh, come on. There's life more than 100 years. Is that not true? So whatever we do, notice, it says the Lord, now let's go back to that verse of scripture. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, it's certain that we can take nothing out. It was spoken by the Spirit of Christ. Having food and raiment, though, increase. Let us be there with content. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have. You don't have money. You don't say having money is the root of all evil. You know? How do you think money is evil? Then give me what's in your pocket. They have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's talking about Christians, not unbelievers. Unbelievers don't hear from the faith. No, they are not in Christ. Saved, we're saved. We're saved. Stability is mine in Christ. No, is there you hear? The first thing on their minds is money. You see Christians. The first thing is how to get money from the other Christian. Money. You can't serve God and serve mammon. What is your motivation? All divine purpose is testified or can be seen in eternity. God's purpose is not, listen, it's not about, it's something that, is this eternal in purpose? What you are doing, what you are slaving yourself over is not eternal. You see some people, it's good we that does not work, do not eat. They will, in the house of God, you can hardly see them do anything. Prayer meeting. Go and preach the gospel. Come for church. Even church, you just attend first service. Briefly. Say, you know my job. You know. See. Listen very well. Whatever you do, so well, that has no eternal purpose. You are wasting time. You are wasting time. You are wasting time. You must have your priorities. Something that has an eternal purpose. That when you get to heaven, it will be there. It will be there. God's purposes are not coincidental. They are a function of what you find out and what you walk in. Are you there? Are you listening? As you grow up spiritually, there are some things that you don't have to be told. You're just like, you know, Paul was saying those folks in Corinth. Say, look, you've been saved. I shouldn't be feeding you with milk. I should be feeding you with meat. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice something. He said, you know, he gave gifts unto men, gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the glory of Christ. You all come to the union of the faith. Now he says, Ephesians 4, he says, that we be no more children. Notice what he said. Tossed how? To and fro. I'm coming to that later. By every wind of doctrine. You can't afford, see, you can't be a child. You can't be a child. You have to grow up. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as light cunning castle of men, whereby lying with to deceive. You can't be a chief verse 14. You can't be a child for long. So when you are already, you've been a Christian for how long? And then you are not yet telling yourself you are walking in God's plan and purpose for your life. Ha! When do you want to find out? You are a Christian for so long, and you are still to and fro. You are not stable. Stable. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? So, a true test of divine purpose is eternity. Are you listening? Are you listening now? A true test of divine purpose is eternity. Else, you labor and labor in vain. That's why it says our labor in the Lord is not in temporary things, is not in vanities. Are you there? Okay. Now, let me talk to you in another dimension now. You know, many of us, particularly, I remember when I was younger, my dad and a friend of his, they were talking to me. It never crossed my mind what they said, but then when they said it, they said, well, that you're a young man, why So all you are doing now is what? You don't go to club. You don't do anything. The man is very funny. I said, do you have a girlfriend? I said, no. Why? He said, so what did you do with your life? You just go to church. You go prayer meeting. He said, that's all. I said, yes. When do you now want to enjoy? He said, people first of all enjoy life. Then they now give their life to Christ. I never thought like that. And thank God I didn't. So, you know, because people assume, and I think even many of us, that when you are young, you just experiment. It's when you are young. You just find yourself in Mexico, 8 years. You fly from there to Brazil, 2 years. You move from there, you just say, you don't have many friends. You have someone say, I want to have balanced friends. Some very good unbeliever friends fight. I want to have a balanced life. You will be balanced out very soon. So you have some spiritual friends. These ones are for spiritual things. And I'll have some friends that they are neither here nor there for when I'm in that state. You know, so I balance. God help you. But you see, Paul wrote a letter to a young man in the Bible. Have you ever read it before? A young man. What did he tell him? Enjoy life. Bubble your life. You can only come to this glory once. Explore your potentials. Is that what he told you? No. A boy of 12. This was a 12-year-old boy. Jesus. Remember in Luke 2. He went to the temple. Not Jesus' church. He wasn't in Jesus' church. He also did not carry Ben 10 to the temple. How old was he? 12. What was he doing? He was reasoning the word of God. It's not that he was 30. All of a sudden he had been doing nonsense. Then he's 30. He just said, let's go to the Jordan. My cousin is there. He had lived nonsense. His life was in nonsense. He was just jumping all over Lagos. You know? Wearing nice shirts. He said, you're looking cool. I'm an happening guy, you know. I'm just waiting. I'll wait till I'm 30 to start purpose. When I'm 30, right? I'll be in Jordan, right? When I'm 30, the Holy Ghost will come on when I'm 30, okay? Wait for me until I'm 30. I'm still a young boy right now, okay? So, all of a sudden, he just said, I'm almost 30. Oh, I'm 30. Let's get to Jordan. This is my beloved son. From where? Are you listening? 12. He was in the moment I was looking for him. You know, some people, the parents will go somewhere else. Football pitch. Viewing center. Silver bed. So why are you looking for me? You know me. You know me now. I'll be in DJ's house to play a game. I am about my father's business. 12. He understood purpose. What age again? 12. Jesus didn't come with purpose from heaven. He grew in wisdom. You know the Bible very well. Luke's Gospel 2, verse 40 and 52. He grew in it. He grew up. So you have to grow up. Now, Paul now writes a young man, Timothy. Young man. Who probably today will be in 100 level. Or pre-degree. In fact, some people at that age are still in GSS 3. What did he tell him? Timothy wasn't experimenting. He said to Timothy, let's look at what he told him. In 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, continue, now what he told him, in the things you have learned, knowing of whom you learned them. From a child, hallelujah, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. From what age? From a child. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He said, be thou an example of the believer. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believer. Some of us, it is obvious we are young because in our minds we are stupid. How can you? You say you're a Christian. You say, and you are in four relationships, once calendar year. One calendar year. You say, they will despise you. Be an example of a believer. A young man stood. That means when you are behaving, those who are in their 70s, their 80s, their 60s will look up to you. There is no age which will not look up to you. Are you listening? There is no age which will not look up to you. I told myself as a teenager, said nobody will look down on me because of my age. I vowed. It never happened. So I will grow in the world. I will grow in the way I think. Praise the Lord. Let no man despise their use. Be an example. He says, till I come, verse 13, give attendance to doctrine, to exhortation, and to reading. In verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, and lean on the hands of the presbytery. In 15, he says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your prophecy may appear to all. In 16, he said, take it to yourself and to your doctrine. That in doing this, you will save yourself and those that hear you. He's talking to a young man. A man that was not yet 20 years. Look at the instructions. Those are the instructions we give today to apostles today. Is that not true? You have to grow up. Let's note five things he told Timothy. Number one, so as a child, you have learnt the scriptures. You have learnt the scriptures. So if you're a young person, learn the scriptures. Know the word of God. Number two, he said, be exemplary. He told him, be exemplary. Be an example. Number three, he says, meditate. Meditate. So that your profiting will appear to everybody. What else? Don't neglect your gifts. In other words, don't neglect your calling. What we can call today, the anointing on your life. It may not earn you fame immediately. You know, sometimes you are preaching. I remember one day, you know, we are going for evangelism. Me and some of my friends went for an outreach. We came back. So we're coming back. Our dress was looking like we just escaped from Zambeza Forest. Our clothes. And then all looked at us and said, is this how you want to continue your life? You know, it's easy to think like that. Ah, it's easy to catch you. In fact, the other person said, who told you to all this? And they look at you and it's purpose. Praise the Lord. You know, something like that, you don't be thinking. See, look at you, see, you know, Jide, down the road. Jide just went to America. He came back 2 days ago. He bought phones for his siblings. He took all of us out to eat. Is he not a Christian? Say, look at you. So you now look at yourself. You look at your shoes. Your belt looks more like rubber band. If you wore tie, it looks like skipping rope. You know, say. At that point, you want to neglect your gifts. You now stay inside. You say, oh God, where are you? Don't let your name be ashamed. Are you there? Yes, sir. Just stir up the gifts. Neglect not the gifts. Your purpose is the anointing on your life. Are you there? Stay with that. He says, take heed to your doctrine, your teaching. So if you're a young person, you don't experiment with your life. Are you listening? Discover purpose and walk in it. Discover purpose. So say, for now, we used to hear that when we were in school, that I know God has called me to the ministry, particularly those who are called to the ministry. I know God has called me to the ministry, but I need to set some things. I need to set some things. Like what? Ah. Need to settle this one. Money. I can't get to ministry and I'll be waiting for church members. I had friends who told me that. To be giving me money. No. I'll settle money. or get married and have children, when I'll now be ready. Can you imagine on your own terms? Who is the servant? Who is the Lord? So when I'm ready, I can tell you, 100% of those people, none of them today is in the ministry. None. But those told us then, he said, nobody ever abandoned the work of the ministry to come back to it again because he wanted to pursue money. And nobody. I thought he was just joking. Or he just said that out of his experience. But it happened exactly like that. So, don't neglect the gift. Are you there? Are you there? Fine. Now, the last time, I'll just run through this quickly. We said there were 9 things you must ask questions about. 9 things. Are you there? Go to Acts 9. 9. We said 9 things. Can you remember that very well? Is this practical enough for you? Good. It has to be you. You know, there's a different prayer. Now, Acts 9, when Jesus appeared to Paul, remember we said he asked a question. He says, Lord, verse 6, what will you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? It's a key question. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, it's different from asking things. Mark 11:24. Nope. It's different from 1 John 5:14. This is what Brother Hagin will call a prayer of consecration. That is a prayer, Lord, if it be your will, I'll go. If this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. That's not the kind of prayer. That's a prayer of obedience, not a prayer of requests. Are you there? A prayer of obedience, not a prayer of request. And I pray that this series will let us stop living lives for ourselves. That our eyes will be opened, that our lives are not to be for ourselves. Our lives are to be to the glory of God. Say, my life is not for me. My life is for the glory of God. So you must, it's not about you. And there are too many doctrines today, sorry to say, that just focus on you. If I heard this by a woman who is the wife of one of the largest churches in the world, say this. She said, and I said no. When I heard that statement, I said no. They are putting her out of context. I now went to watch the video myself. She said, you see, when you worship God and you serve God, it's not about God. That is, it's not about that. Why you are worshiping God is about you, so that you will be happy. Ha! So it's about your happiness. Like everything in life is about your happiness. And she said it the same way her husband talks, very smooth. I said, ha! It's not a joke. I said, ha! He says, it's about you. When you do this, it's about you to be happy. Eh? I just changed the channel. I want something else. It's not about you. Are you there? So what would you have me do? It's not a prayer to receive. It's a prayer to obey. I don't know. Many of us probably haven't prayed that kind of prayer. What would you have me do? It's a prayer that is never definite. I told you last time, God can never show you everything he wants you to do. So you have to follow that. It's step by step. Each step all the way. Alright. So, the first thing we said we have to ask is the place. Can you remember? Purpose must have a place. Correct? Is that correct? Okay. God is particular about a place. There are places he doesn't want you to go to. You know, in Matthew 10, he told his disciples, he said, do not go to the Gentiles. He said, don't go there. Verse 5. Don't go to Samaritans. He said, don't go there. So purpose is tied to a place. Whereas, much later in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the nations. Mark 16:15. That's why he said, not everything comes at once. So it must be tied to a place. Notice, you mustn't be found jumping from place to place. It's instability. A Christian must be led by the Spirit of God. Jumping from place to place. You must discover the place of purpose. There are people today who just took off and traveled and maybe left Lagos, went to the east, or left the east, came to Lagos, you know, and they did not consider the fact that there is a place to purpose. Since what God wants to be done are done in places, the people He wants to use to do those things must be in the places. Is someone listening? Are you listening? So there is a place to fulfill God's plans. There is a place to fulfill God's plans and God's purpose. I tell you the story how years ago I almost left the country. Now the truth of the matter is this. No matter how knowledgeable I am in the Word of God, if I left the country, I probably would never have known you. Do you understand? So a lot of things go wrong when we do things on our own. A lot of things go wrong. It doesn't mean somebody else will not have pastored you. Don't get that wrong. It doesn't mean. I remember this vividly. When I was in university, I said this. There was a particular fellowship. I told the members, I said, I know that God wants me to pastor this fellowship. I'm saying it again. How many years? About 17 years now. I said, the Lord wanted me to pastor this fellowship. I said it. Because I knew. No, I didn't. I didn't. I won't tell you what happened afterwards. I didn't. So there's a place. There are places attached to your purpose. You have to be there. I mentioned this before. In going to the nations must have to do with purpose. I'll get to that in a moment. So your career place, before you change jobs, think about it. Don't just jump from place to place. Your business place, academics, I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, God called Abraham to a place that I'll show you. I told him, don't go down to Egypt forever. There are places you shouldn't go to. You must go according to purpose. Why are you traveling? Have you asked that question? Why are you relocating? Why? Is it attached to purpose? Is it for money? Don't forget, you can't serve God and money. Can you remember that? So anything that money motivates you to do will never be God's will. Is it for money? So it's for the God's will. When I get money, I'll give you. Who do you want to drink that one with? No. If money motivates you, no, God's not motivating you. That's clear. Is that clear? If selfishness motivates you, God is not motivating you. So why are you traveling? Why are you going? It doesn't mean you're not going to make money. No. But why are you traveling? What's the primary purpose? Why are you leaving Lagos? Why are you coming to Lagos? It's not difficult where some people, they live where they're supposed to be, and then they struggle as Christians. Some never get into God's plan for their life again for the rest of their lives. Why? They never ask the right questions. Why am I leaving? If I travel, it was so easy. It was so. Now today, am I not traveling? Have I not gone? There's no nation I cannot go to. None. Imagine mortgaging so many things because I wanted to leave a present distress and just get an immediate comfort. Today, I affect people in different continents of the world because I did not leave Lagos. If you had gone to, you know the point is, well, those places have people of purpose. If I'd gone to maybe the UK, I'll have made new friends. Is that not true? Done new things. I'll just have been a very good Christian in one good church. You see, you can't imagine me, right? You can't imagine in one good church, I'll just be, and you know, I'll now see somebody. Maybe I'll see you on TV. Moving past. It used to be like this, you know. And now I married me one white girl. I said, you know. Even you were like this? I said, I was. Say, oh, what a life you live. I said, well, it's true, you know. It's just some fun, you know. Just some fun, you know. And in my heart, I'd be like, God, see my life. Do you understand? So you will have, so many things will have changed. And most people will never have known what should have been. Are you listening? Because you took steps. Don't go and play Visa lottery first. You win it. You're not saying you are tempted. You have won it. So, okay, Pastor, what do I do? There was someone like that. I said, are you sure? Sir, let's pray about it. Okay, sir. He called me at the airport. They've already taken me to the airport. Sir, I've already cleared my customs. I said, no. Now, the person got there and issues upon issues. I said it. Why? What is he going to the UK? What is he going to the US? Is everybody in the US in the will of God? Just let me land at Heathrow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you, Father. I give you. Just tell you the story of how I traveled to South Africa and a friend of mine told me, God told me. I told you, can you imagine? A friend of mine is a spirit-filled man. He lost it. Anybody can be in the flesh anytime. Do you understand? So before you say, I want to leave this company. I'm going to leave them every day. What? It's not bad to change your job because they're not paying you well. Particularly, you know, if you're under Jacob's circumstances. And you go, no! But can you just pray about it? No! No! This is not job. You say, 290,000 per week. Jesus! And you don't know. You know you are struggling with prayer group. You will struggle. Did you pray? Did you pray before you changed? Pastor, I had peace. You are spending the peace. It's pieces that you had. You have to pray. You have to. It's not religious to pray, to know. He's not. No, we know. There was one brother that was toasting his sister. So the sister has been hooked now, finally. Say, amen. Say, la. The brother said, you don't have to. Why are you praying? You don't have to pray about it. We know. We know these things. Don't pray about it. We know. Sister is smiling. Why are you relocating? Why are you changing your job? Think about it. Pray about it. Pray to know what God wants you to do. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Look at the written word and follow the inward witness. Don't just travel. Don't just marry. Even a brother in community church assembly of God. Don't just. Are you listening? No, church I'm talking about. Don't say because the person is a pastor. Ha! Do you know that people backslide? You know, very strong Christian backslide. You know, it's not written like 666 on their head, but it happens. Pray about it. Praise the Lord. Don't just say yes like you are programmed. You love me, and somebody now put you in a tight corner and Silverberg Gallery and begins to kneel down. Say, bro, do you want to pray? Say in Jesus' name. Those things are worldly. Are you listening? They are worldly things, oh. They don't put everyone in the game. Pa, pa. Go ahead, baby. You will not know, pray. Are you Beyonce? You are in Christ. You better pray, oh. It means I just say, in Jesus' name, prayer of agreement. Amen. Are you listening? God give you understanding. There is a place of purpose. Don't change places, jobs, businesses without praying. And anytime you have a discomfort in your spirit, don't take any actions. It's better to be a bit slower than God than to be ahead. Are you listening? Even when you are not sure, don't take any permanent action. No matter the pressures your friends, your family are putting on you, family will not be responsible for your misfortune. No. Are you listening? Don't let anybody rush you out of God's will for your life. There is a place. Let me even go further. Even where you live. I'm not saying you should, before you get to, no, but as you are praying, check the inward witness about decisions that you are taking. Where you are moving to, I want to just do this. And this is what is most comfortable for me. Mm-mm. Being comfortable doesn't mean you are in God's will. Sometimes that comfort is just in the flesh. Pray about it. Are you listening? Let me mention this quickly. Okay, I'll talk about this later. Now, we said about Paul's vision. Don't forget that. We'll just quickly run through that and we'll finish. Notice in Paul's vision, Acts 22, Acts 23, I'll just talk about it. Everything God said to him was about people. Firstly, he said, I will deliver you first from people. Can you remember? And I will now send you to them. Now, the very first thing, and this is very vital, is this. Note that God's purposes for us are always tied to people. What is eternal has to do with people, not things. Don't live for things. Did you hear me? Should I repeat myself? Don't live for things. Live for people. I'm not saying serve them. I'm not saying worship people. But your purposes in Christ are always tied to people. People. The people you are sent to define your purpose for you. Many of us despise purpose because the people are not things. Sometimes it's secondary school. I look back and I thank God how seriously I took certain things at a time. And, you know, I was telling Pastor Wally a couple of weeks back, I said, you see, no matter how it looks like, I said, when people are involved, God is concerned. No matter the age grade and age group. Some of us have taken purpose, you know, on serious because it's a children's church or a teen church or young people. But what you are playing with is eternity. Take it seriously. God's purposes are tied to people, not to things. Places are important, I mentioned. The people in the places. Sometimes you discard university fellowships. They are all men. Campus fellowships, schools, people that are sent, you were sent to. Your purpose can never be outside people. God sends us to ourselves. God uses you for me, uses me for you. Are you listening? That's purpose. I must locate it. I must stick to it. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's not exciting. That's exactly where God wants me to be. Are you listening? Don't miss meetings. Places are important. There are some meetings some people have missed that affected them for the rest of their lives. Don't miss some meetings, some services. Purpose is tied to places. What did I say? I'll just close here. Don't work for yourself. No, when we say work for people, it's not family. You say, I'm taking care of my children and my wife and my husband. That's not what we're talking about. That's just selfish. Look at that thing you are doing that is not selfish. It's not about you. Look at it. Don't serve things. Don't work for things. Purpose is tied to people. Let me just close on this. See, if you know that God has a purpose for your life while you are here, ministry, be a blessing to people, then you must be led who you get married to, male and female. You must be led. You must be led. There are people you can't marry. There are people that cannot be in your inner caucus. There are people that cannot be your friends. It's not possible. Because of the purpose attached to your life. Are you listening? Don't forget, except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain I build it. Doesn't mean the house will not be built, but the house will not last. After this earth, that's all. There's a life after here. If you walk and walk for some that will perish, you just wasted your life. We can see from 1 Corinthians 3, some people have nothing they live for. Nothing. 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 The most disastrous thing for a Christian is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. May we not waste our lives and waste our time pursuing things that don't matter. May our hearts grab purpose. May our hearts think purpose. May our minds be filled with purpose. May our days be filled with purpose. May we not slave with money. May we not slave for money. May money not be our motivation. May our hearts not be taken over and motivated by things and money. Check your heart. Let me say this. If there are decisions you ought to take, take them. If you need to change your job, change it. If you need to change what your plans are, change them. To obey is better than speaking in tongues. To obey is better than going on fasting and prayer for 1 year. You did not obey. Sacrifice cannot cure disobedience. It's only obedience that cures disobedience. Let us pray. Wherever you may be.